All right, hello guys, this is Sean
and Jeff,
and from Worst Collection Ever. Thanks for listening. This is a very special episode that we just recorded this past weekend at the 2015 Kamikaze Expo here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a very special guest with us, comedian Mike Schmidt. He is hilarious, and you may know him from shows such as Never Not Funny and...
40-Year-Old Boy Podcast.
Well, I was going to say Comedy Film Nerds, and his own podcast, the 40-Year-Old Boy Podcast. That is his show. You need to check that out. He's fantastic. And he joined us on stage at Kamikaze to talk about comic books. And we apologize, I guess, towards the end. We kind of had a rush, more so than we normally would.
Yeah, we only had a certain amount of time up on stage, and perhaps not doing this live before, we were not prepared.
We're not doing it live at a con.
At a con. Yeah, before, we weren't actually prepared for that. So we did have to actually rush towards the end. So,
but I think we got in some good stuff. So, and you guys are going to like the books we talked about. So hope you guys dig it. And thanks for listening. And we will talk to you guys next time. Enjoy the live episode from 2015's Kamikaze.
Hello and welcome to Worst Collection Ever. Yay. Hello, Kamikaze.
We are live here at Kamikaze 2015 at the Los Angeles Convention Center. And we have folks here to see us do this show. And I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
And
we have a very special guest today.
We have a very special guest. So first of all, let's tell everybody what the show is about real quick.
Okay, so Worst Collection Ever is about Sean and I's comic book collection. We don't have anything worth any value. We buy comics from dollar bins and 50-cent bins all over the place. And to justify that expense, we have a podcast in which we talk about them.
Right, yeah, exactly. I mean, we do own one comic of value. It's a Fantastic Four.
He thinks it's a value.
40. Okay. Well, I haven't gotten it appraised. My dad thought it was a lot of money, but...
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how it goes.
Our special guest today is Mike Schmidt from the 40-Year-Old Boy Podcast.
Hi.
Hi, welcome, Mike.
Special guest has never been used more inappropriately, but thank you for having me. Guest, certainly. Special, I don't think so, but thank you.
Thank you so much for coming to be on our live podcast here at Kamikaze, where we have two people in our audience. Hello, audience. Thank you for coming.
You should probably... Please feel free to clap and laugh.
Or cry. Crying is usually what I do.
No. Literally breaking the only rule you made 4 minutes ago when you told them both we will never speak to you this entire show. That's the first thing you said to them.
Okay.
I did. No, but he wasn't there.
Okay.
the other cat was there, but the other guy was there. So let's get started. So first up, we have...
Before we do all that...
Yes.
Guy, I have questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm a comic person, sort of. Like, I know of them exponentially as they've gotten larger and larger. My brothers collect them as a youth. So are you people who've collected comics your whole lives and then went, hey, let's get the junk? Or you decided it would be funny to buy junk? I don't understand the premise of only buying comics that are worthless.
No. For me, when I was a teenager, I collected them. And I was just
Was that a year ago?
Yes. I wish
6 months ago.
Yesterday, I was collecting comics as a kid, and I was buying them, and they were you know, it's just a lot of stuff that, like, I just had a taste for, like, randomness. I didn't really like buy a lot of new comics. I just bought a lot of stuff that was just junk, you know. And
did you only buy hero junk, or do you also buy junk like Richie Rich and Lulu and all that nonsense?
I just buy hero junk.
Okay,
that's kind of my bag. And
because that's what comics say to me, heroes. I mean, I always knew that those others existed. I know Archie's a big deal, I suppose, and he's gay now, or he's got a gay friend or whatever. But but I don't know if that was like something you just went, I want all rando nonsense, or you just went, I like heroes.
That was
just
kind
like,
of my deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's more rando, but. I mean, I'm more like, I just like, at one point I was just into DC, and then, you know, I kind of became into Marvel, and then, you know, I went back and forth between that. And now, after, I think, a couple years ago, we got into watching the Justice League cartoon again. Mm-hmm. It was just something that we started watching again, and I was like, man, I miss my comic books. And then I, you know, eventually was able to get a bunch of them from back home, because I'm not from here. And And then we just started going to comic book stores and buying lots of comics. And it just kind of...
From that box that's underneath the card table, yes, that has the new ones. Yeah. I've been there before. You go to Meltdown or some other shop, and they'll have that box.
It's like just dusty. And
yeah,
like,
and just piles of stuff in there. Yeah. Exactly. There's coffee rings on the covers.
Yes,
yeah, I just it's funny because
we have ones that actually smell.
These smell. I was so happy. I read them on a plane. And again, I'm a child. All right. So I mean, I'm an old man, but I'm also a child. So when I opened this, one of them's from 1980, one of them's from 1982, and I immediately was 13 and 15 again. Absolutely. Because they smell, and I was so happy. I swear to God, on a plane, I opened them, and the whiff hit me in the face, and I was immediately transported and went, I get this. Again, I get this.
I love that these were traveling. I just something. Something.
They went through TSA, friend.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wait,
how exciting.
Like, why do you have these? We just collect bullshit. And
and we're going to do that today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about bullshit. We're going to buy more bullshit today.
We're going to buy more bullshit for future episodes, which, by the way, okay, so actually, I think we didn't specify this in the email and the stuff, but this is a podcast, so this is being recorded. I feel like it wasn't mentioned in the description. I failed to do that. Yep. However, this is a podcast on the Sideshow Network, which is also on iTunes, SideshowNetwork.tv, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere. And you can download it every Tuesday, and that's what we do. So anyways, let's start.
You can also find a cassette of it in a box underneath a card table at Meltdown Comics.
That's
where they distribute it to the public.
I would love actually to do that, but just
very
showed up and was
CD
like, can I put these on consignment?
Dude, do that, but do it. Do it like that Joker viral campaign for Dark Knight when they would hide the stuff in the comic book stores. If you just hid like small, like thumb drives, although thumb drives are a bad idea because any guy in a comic book store is not going to go, hey, why don't I put this strange thumb drive in my laptop? Because who knows who's going to cart you off to jail for the pictures from Malaysia. But still, it's a good idea to maybe do something like that and just throw a CD out there or whatever. That's neat.
I like that.
We should do it.
I like neat.
Dat file. How about that?
All right. So we're going to start with Marvel Team-Up, Volume 1, Issue 90, from February 1980, Death on the Air.
Right. So it's called Death on the Air, but on the cover it says Death Rides the Airwaves because they can give two shits about whether or not it's correct on the inside and the outside.
Exactly.
So, and on the cover we have, of course, Spider-Man teams up with Beast. Beast, from at this moment he's with the Avengers right now,
right.
And they're fighting
that guy,
Modular Man, and Killer Shriek.
Shrike. All right, so we start this one with I don't know. They're going to some like science fair.
It's Empire State University Science Fair.
Yes. So Peter Parker's with some chick. But he walks in to see Beast just, like, surrounded by chicks. And I did not know that Beast apparently pulls down the Tang.
He does.
Did not know this was a thing.
He's not messing around.
No, absolutely not.
And I mean, there's a number of things going on in this one. Of course, the girls are like, you're the cutest Avenger. You know, of course, the team also
has... He's
wearing,
like, a leisure suit.
Yeah, he's full Burt Reynolds here. I like this a lot. This is actually looks like a lot of fun.
Well, Beast is there and he's entertaining these women.
Yeah, go back.
Sorry. He's entertaining these girls and he's telling them, hey, I'm just here for this conference, but if you'd like to come with me to the conference. And in the background, Peter Parker's walking in with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And within seconds, Peter Parker says to himself, oh, man, I wish I had girls like that. Like, essentially, I never realized, again, when I was a kid, I read Spider-Man and loved it. But I didn't realize he was such a sad sack in these early episodes.
He's just like thinking about how sad his life is. It's like all he does.
And the thing about Peter Parker here is like he's, you know, if he, the way he's talking, like he's punching above his weight. You know, but I mean, this girl is clearly, you know, just as drawn just as cute as these other girls.
Well, also, Peter Parker is dating the wrong women. I mean, let's face it, that's a science dude. He's got test tubes in his pocket, and he's not just happy to see you. However, he brings home, in every issue I would see, aside from, you know, Gwen and Mary Jane were incredibly hot, but then he would also date these weird bubbleheads who would ignore him, but somehow he'd still get a first date with them. But dude, what are you doing bringing her to a science conference, for fuck's sake? Honestly. Language. Sorry, fellas.
So, but, and also, too, I figured I'd point this out real quick. Beast has a very rendered batch. I feel very...
Oh, yeah, no, there's a lot of batch going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of batch going
on
here.
Crotches,
it's like Frank Miller
lovingly
was
drawn
it or something.
Crotches in this book.
Yeah. So anyway, so now we're into the thing, and she's like, oh, Beast, he's here.
Like, OMG, it's Beast, I'm so excited. And then Peter's like, ugh, whatever. And she's not going to, he's like, well, it's okay. She's not going to go over there and talk to him. But like literally the next panel, she's gone because she's going to go talk to Beast.
And then Peter says to himself, well, that's okay. It's fine. This conference will be a lot more fun without her. Sure, it will. Did you think it would be fun with her? Did you think if you brought a platinum blonde named Sissy to the science conference, she was going to be interested in genomes? I don't think she is.
You never know.
Genomes. it's like, yeah, I mean, he's so kind of like, he's not very with it when it comes to this stuff. Like, it's like, and it's, he's not like a horrible looking dude, you know, but.
No, he's got to be in amazing shape. He's Spider-Man. So, I mean, if Sissy bothers to put a hand on his chest and does the outline, granted, he's not covered in blue fur, but he's got to be built like Beast, right?
Yeah. You'd assume. So as Peter Parker's all sad, we get these guys who are apparently just standing somewhere where nobody notices.
They're standing,
there's like costume dudes like hanging
above,
out.
Yeah, they're standing above like in the rafters. Which
they're on the balustrade, it said in the inking.
Values.
Dejectedly, Peter Parker trudges into the next room, and in the midst of his depression, he fails to notice two figures on the balustrade.
Which I think everybody not noticing these figures is a stretch, because one dude, of course, is Killer Shirk.
Strike,
which is the guy with like the mask and stuff, and then the other guy is the Modular Man, and he's in like the trench coat.
Killer Shrike is in full D'Artagnan costume with razor blades on his wrists,
right? And, no
and
one
he bought a ticket
him.
To that event.
And people just let him at the door.
They wouldn't let me in here with my pass. Killer Shrike gets in with razor blades on his wrists in full costume.
They're like, whatever, dude. And then, like, Modular Man, like, you can see through his face.
Yes.
And they were just like,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, that's a tuning fork with a coat on.
Yeah.
Literally, he is. He's made of, he's like a bunch of just random rebar pieces, and he's got a coat, and he talks. And
he's a golden skeleton. I mean, don't even downplay it. No. He's grand. He's amazing looking. He's in a green trench coat. He's a golden skeleton, and he wore a fedora to hide it. And he somehow made it past and made it in. It's ridiculous.
It's amazing.
How did they get to the balustrade? Where are the stairs?
Maybe they don't
need did he take a dumb waiter up there?
What's going on?
So they're like, okay, we have to steal this thing.
There's a microwave thing.
Yeah, it's a microwave thing.
They had to steal a microwave.
Modular Man, he was like trying to do something and like it backfired on him and like made him into this golden skeleton, which is the only thing that's keeping him together and from like, you know, dying basically. So he's going to go steal it. And of course, Peter Parker's looking at it. And then he's like, uh-oh. And
the best part is they go, hey, we might have to kill that dude because he's standing in the way.
He's standing in front of that thing.
Yeah, how dare he?
They don't even want him to walk away. Like, if they can't wait 5 seconds for him to step aside.
Nope. Can't wait for him to, like, literally turn his back. They're like, we got to kill this guy.
Yeah.
And so, and then they're like, oh, no, this thing surrounded by glass has security. I guess I'll just, like, do the direct approach and break it. So he like punches it open, punches it open, and then of course there's like the melee and ensues.
Well, because Peter sensed that they were there.
Of course,
he sensed the danger on the balustrade, even though he didn't see it.
No,
and he said, "I better change my costume."
Because he's got that thing where his face gets half. You know, he always gets his half Spidey face, and then that means that Spidey sense is happening. So he gets all tingly and decides not to, jump into action here.
So they start fighting. Of course, Spider-Man gets thrown backwards towards Beast. And then Beast is like, I'm going to help you. And as he's taking off his shirt, all the ladies are like, oh, my God, it's a striptease. I can't wait to get a piece of his shirt.
So I have a question about this here. Because the shirt's coming off last, meaning that...
The pants came off first.
Oh, yeah. So he sat there and he was like, hey, what's going on with it? And he just, in the midst of a group of women, just started ripping off his pants, unbuckling his pants. Which thankfully he's wearing his blue underwear as he normally does.
That's good.
You know, he's wearing his blue BVDs. And
that's also a really good question because who undresses pants first?
It's weird. Yeah, he's doing some sort of.
But I go the other way. If you're covered in fur, why the fuck are you wearing pants at all?
Yeah, why doesn't he just walk around in his little blue undies?
Exactly. You're the Beast. I mean, and putting on the orange suit isn't really helping you corral the ladies. Obviously, they love you.
He would be better
off just on full display.
He would be better off just wearing a robe.
Yeah, right?
Like, he just walked in wearing like a velvet robe. He's like, hey, I'm here. But granted, you know, a robe with pockets. He needs to keep his keys whatever it says, Avenger Quinjet keys.
Body comb.
Body comb. Yeah, he's like, excuse me, ladies. I got to go.
Clearly.
That's a really good question. Like, how many combs
I got a mat in my knee.
Tons. Oh, my God, tons.
Does he get fleas?
You would have to think he gets dipped.
He has to, right?
Yeah. That's what the ladies are not realizing as they come around the Beast and they're like, oh, my God, he's so beautiful. You don't realize the maintenance that goes into dating the Beast.
He does take normal showers. I have an issue of the Avengers where he is taking just an average shower, which I, you know, maybe that's just how that works.
And you read it slowly.
I did. I spent a lot of time on that panel.
It's like, this is the best thing I've ever read.
These are things that I point. This is things in our comic book collection that we point out because we read some of the direct that we do. Yeah. You know, we're like, oh, that guy's taking a shower, and this is how this works. But anyways,
yeah.
So Beast is, you know, ripping off his shirt. These girls are freaking out like he's freaking Morrissey or something.
Yeah.
You know, throwing his shirt in the audience.
Morrissey's gonna write a song about his dead girlfriend.
I would like to see Spider-Man team up with Morrissey. They're about the kind of the same.
Well, they're both mopey. Yes,
they're both indeed. Mopey. Yeah,
very mopey.
They're very good.
So there's, you know, fighting, as you can see. There's some fighting. And then there's Modular Man throws Beast. And I just love Beast's expression in this picture.
Yes.
He also kind of looks like maybe he's going to grab one of those chick's tits. That wow. might actually be something that's going on.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a good panel. Now, here, I have a question. Look, and we all know New York in 1980 is a different place than it is now. And, of course, it's the city that never sleeps, and everybody there has an attitude. But how jaded are you as New Yorkers to be at a science technology convention and Spider-Man and the Beast show up to fight a golden skeleton and Killer Shrike? Nobody leaves. Panel, people are there gathered around. They're just watching the action. Nobody runs in terror. Nobody's astonished at the fact that this battle royale has broken out in what is half a college museum. It makes zero sense. I don't know why nobody freaked out, but they didn't. Everybody just kind of took it in stride. And then actually were cheering the Beast. They were excited. They were in love and wanted to watch him fight. It seems strange.
It is. And not only that, but they start like throwing these guys like into the crowd of people,
yes.
and then they're going to pull out weapons as we start seeing, like, here's...
Well, as you can tell, I mean, you know, the villains can care less about the safety of people because they were going to kill Peter Parker for just standing in the way.
True, yeah, but also, but Spider-Man and Beast couldn't care less about anybody either, because at one point, Modular Man, Golden Skeleton, pulls out a poison gas gun and shoots it.
Which is that panel right there.
At Spider-Man. and they're like, oh, I guess he's holding his breath. That's the explanation Killer Shrike has. Oh, it has no effect on him. I guess he's holding his breath. However,
like,
unfortunately,
all the other people?
14 bystanders perished in the blast from the gas gun.
But you don't have to see them. That's fine. They're just people.
And how would Spider-Man not die? Because he's holding his breath, but I mean, his lungs, he doesn't have like Superman lungs.
Oh, I don't know, spider lungs?
I mean, I don't know, because I'm just saying, because I can hold my breath too, you know, being in a cloud of gas, but I mean, it's not like...
Well, it has to be in the fabric of the costume. He shoots him directly with poison gas.
In the face.
Yes.
Right in the face.
Like, there's condensation in his suit.
There has to be.
That's probably just ripping apart his skin as it is, but no, that's fine.
No.
Do we skip the one where he's getting a Beast is getting tickled?
No.
Wait, that one?
Go. That's ahead. We're not there yet.
Is it this?
Well, yeah, but we're
not
there yet.
No, we already passed it.
We did?
Yeah.
When?
See, there's this. Beast getting smashed. And then this is that. And as soon as this happens, then the fight is over.
Oh, see, I missed Beast getting tickled.
Oh, is it that one?
Yeah, no. Well, first of all, they get their asses handed to them.
Yeah, they really do. So they just get their asses kicked, as you can see, and then
go back to Beast getting double fist pounded by a golden skeleton.
There you go.
Which, I mean, he's getting rocked.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not. You know, I figured he would be able to beat a golden skeleton because, you know, it's not like, I mean, I don't know how dense the skeleton is, but.
Very dense.
Must be very dense.
I'm assuming extremely dense. And so then there they are, just laying around. And as they're thinking this, all the women start coming over to Beast to be like, oh my God, Beast, we're going to help you. And of course, Spider-Man, the sad sack that he is just like, oh, Beast is so lucky. Why couldn't have I gotten. Got bitten by a blue gorilla.
Yes.
Instead of a spider.
Well, a spider.
The thing is that he's already, I mean, he already knows because his girl's already ditched him, so he knows he's not in any position to be nursed back by anybody.
No.
You know? Well, you say that. However, in the next panel, Spider-Man, who has a mask on, people wonder about his secret identity all over, probably every day in New York, is examined by a doctor who does not remove his mask.
No.
And the doctor tells him, ah, you're fine. You're just a little dizzy with some contusions. I don't know how you saw the contusions through the Spider-Man outfit. I don't know how you survived the examination as you had poison gas residue leak through his mask onto your hands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, this doctor should, everybody should be contaminated. This should be a building-wide contamination, like some sort of David Cronenberg movie.
Yeah.
You know, it should just be chaos. This poor girl, you know, she should be like, everybody should be like, everything burns. Everything burns.
Yeah. Yes. Like, Spider-Man should see, he'd have to be decontaminated. He'd have to get a whole new suit.
Yes.
But no, he's fine.
In that panel, there's a security guard. And he says, all right, keep back. Just a little disturbance. Nothing to worry about. And it's a little disturbance. First of all, it was a battle. It was a huge fight between superpowers, villains, and poison gas,
where
all sorts of stuff.
The current Avengers got his ass handed to him.
And so did Spider-Man.
Yeah.
By a skeleton and a guy in a D'Artagnan outfit. But my favorite part of that is the security guard. I as they're drawing this and giving him a line, is he like a walk-on day player in soap operas and things like
that?
That
is a security card.
That's what I mean. Does he now have, like, from the Comics Code Authority, does he have some sort of, like, he can appear in other issues and get bumped up to a union job?
Yeah, he gets some sweet benefits and stuff. Health insurance?
Because I know when they drew him.
He's guaranteed breaks now.
So did he get appear in other books as a security guard?
Yeah. And it was a really sweet deal for him.
I love it. He's just like a walk-on part. He gets this line. And I know, he went home that night and he's like, honey, I'm in. I'm in the union. We're in. This is money. Rolling in.
Yes.
If there's one person that didn't die from the burning gas,
it's that guy.
I feel very inspired by that. So
then after everything's fine, they're like, we should probably go get these guys. Beast and Spider-Man make a plan to meet up later, and then Spider-Man.
Don't they make a bet of some sort?
They do later.
Oh, okay.
But then Spider-Man's like, oh no, I forgot I brought a girl. So he, like, runs to go find her, and then he's, like, as he's walking her home, she's, like, clutching a piece of Beast's shredded shirt that she's going to keep next to what?
She barely looks next to him.
No.
Looks up to him.
No. Wait. And she's going to keep it next to Eric Clapton's guitar pick.
Yes.
In her, like, collection of crap she got from famous dudes, I guess.
I'm going to keep it next to Jimmy Page's shoe that I stole. Or Peter Frampton's...
One of the Beatles licked this.
How is she still in the building?
Oh, I don't know. And she didn't die from the gas.
Did she? And not once did she go, hey, I wonder, did Peter run away? What happened here at this fight?
Well, she's just been looking at that piece of shirt.
Yeah, and she just like stares at it. And then he's like, oh, you know, why don't I, you know, come up? And she's like, oh, no, I have to watch the new cable channels that are coming
on
the TV
tonight. But she invites him over. But this is the thing. She says to him, hey, you know, they've got a new cable thing happening. Why don't you come on over and watch some TV with me tomorrow?
Cable channels and chill.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
But then he goes in for the kiss, and she completely avoids him and disappears into the apartment.
But she just waits. Well, she invited him, and then he, just because he tried to get the chill part out of the way, she bounced.
Well, he was like, oh, I can't. I got some stuff going on tonight. And unfortunately, I can't do it. And she's like, okay, well, you know, if you get the chance, come by later, I'm out. And so then he gets all upset, and then he thinks nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's what people thought back in the day.
Nuts.
Nuts.
My nuts are blue.
So,
Spider-Man.
Like, the whole thing with the new cable channels.
Oh, yes, cable channels.
They're coming on. Like, so.
What kind of cable channels?
D'Artagnan guy and Golden Skeleton Dude.
But what we got to talk more about these cable channels. What kind of cable do you think they're getting? So this is 1980.
Well, it's
so
not Cinemax.
Cinemax was around then.
Well, that's probably not what they're getting. They're probably getting like...
Spice Channel?
Yeah, sure. Spice Channel.
What else would be hot in the 80s?
Like old HGTV where it's like nothing but this old house.
Bob Ross.
Yeah,
well,
Bob
remember
Ross.
Getting, I remember getting WTBS and WOR and going, oh my God, it's television from Atlanta. And it was Mayberry and Braves games. It was the same thing that was at my house. I was in Chicago, except I was getting the Cubs at my house and they were having the Braves. And it was this whole new world. I'm like, oh my God, they show the Brady Bunch in Atlanta? But I was so thrilled.
That's actually a good point. This is the dawn of TBS. This is where Ted Turner gets rich. This is the moment where Ted Turner becomes a millionaire right here. This leads to many other things. Right now they're going to broadcast a Braves game. Hank Aaron's going to be on it. This is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
No wonder this guy is like, nothing better go wrong. If anything goes wrong, I am going to lose my shit because technology sucks in the 80s and it's going to break at any moment.
Yes.
So
like the whole plan is like that the Modular Man and Shriek.
They are going to use
sit in this helicopter with a handheld radio device and get all these microwaves to help the guy with the skeleton.
Because I think it's supposed to make him like human again?
I don't. Well, that's not what actually happens, but that's what the guy who looks like D'Artagnan thinks is going to happen.
But
this guy, the golden skeleton's totally fucking over that guy.
As they discuss this plan, however, they are in a hotel suite they clearly rented.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
So the two of them, skeleton and a green fedora and a gentleman in a D'Artagnan outfit with razor blades on his wrists, had to go to the front desk.
They went to La Quinta Inn. They were like, or to the Doubletree Inn. They were like, here's your cookie.
They had to give him a card for incidentals. He had his Killer Shrike Visa card they had to take at the desk.
It's like the Bat card that they used in Batman and Robin.
They ordered room service because he clearly has a drink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And by the way, he's still in costume. The next day in a hotel, he never takes the costume off. Does he not want Golden Skeleton to know his true identity? Did he not take a shower after the poison gas brawl at the laboratory? I don't understand.
And no one understands. It's fine.
No, this is there's a lot. Yeah, I mean, he's probably getting poison gas all over the beds. Probably some poor maid's gonna die.
Yeah.
Killer Shrike is probably ripping up a lot of that furniture too with his wrist blades.
Oh, I'm sure it's all damaged now. They have to get rid of it.
It's ruined. They are gonna get so billed for that room.
How does that guy, if he has a drink in his hand and he has his like little blades on his arm, how does he not stab himself in the face?
Come on, he's got to know by now. He wears the costume 24/7. He clearly knows how to drink a drink with razor blades on his wrist.
Like a thing, so he doesn't stab himself, take an eye out.
Yeah. So let's move on here.
Yeah, so then here they are. They're going to do this thing.
Beast is like, hey, I'm going to check it out.
Like, I figured it out. I'm so smart. He's talking to himself about how smart he is because
he's talking a lot to himself. Look at all that.
He talks a lot to himself.
Have you ever spoken that much to yourself?
Well, yeah, but
like that whole
weird paragraph,
like that's a lot of words.
Yeah, you're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, I know.
I literally have an internal dialogue that never stops. I barely heard what you just said. Is this not worthy of the other Avengers?
You would think.
He's sitting on a building with binoculars, and he's all proud of himself. It's like, well, dude, if you would have called Thor, maybe this whole thing could be cleaned up. You would
Wonder
need Spider-Man
would totally
to meet
hop in here. Him and Wonder Man were buddies at this time, and they could have totally did this.
This issue could have just like ended right now if you just got Iron Man.
Iron Man just go vap
exactly.
And then hit the thing. Yeah.
But no. So he's like, oh, you know, this is great. So Spider-Man shows up. Not there, but Spider-Man shows up and he's like, all right, so it's time to do this and we're going to get this shit done.
By the way, he found Beast because they made a bet where he said, I will find you. And Beast said, I'll bet you can't. He goes, I'll bet you $10 that I can.
Yes.
And then he planted a spider tracer on Beast.
I bet you can't find me, but no, because I'm blue.
Right. So he plants a spider tracer on Beast and even says that, haha, this is going to be like taking candy from a baby because I put a tracer on Beast. So the next day, he finds him.
Yeah.
Which clearly means that Beast did not comb his fur or take a shower at all because he had a spider tracer stuck on him for a full 24 hours.
Yeah, gross. So then...
After being in a fight where poison gas was involved.
Everybody at Xavier's
mansion. Am I hung
died.
Up on the minutia? Is it just... Am I the only guy?
You're not wrong.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to just try to get through this because we're running low. So... The cable channels go online, and the guys steal the microwaves from this thing, and then all of a sudden the fight starts.
Well, the cable gets fucked up.
The cable gets fucked up, and as the cable's getting fucked up, this guy is just having a fucking heart attack. He's just so upset.
Oh, Lee Horsley is unhappy.
He is very unhappy right now.
Literally, that is Ted Turner.
But what's happening is the Golden Skeleton guy is like growing and getting gigantic.
Yes.
So, now, when I read about Modular Man, I didn't know if he was like Molecule Man. Like, I mean, I got all spinny because it was the 80s and stuff. So I didn't know if he became him and he became him. I wasn't sure.
No, Modular Man was completely different. Molecule Man went on to marry Volcano and do things in Secret Wars.
True.
Yeah.
So as the gold guy's getting all big, the guy dressed like D'Artagnan knocks Spider-Man off a roof, and Beast is like, I should save him. And he saves him. But of course, as he's doing that, he's just so happy. He's like, oh, I should pretend to be Tarzan. This is like the best thing that's ever
happened. He also does this thing where he's like, I'm going to squeeze his wrist because I assume that's how this works.
Yeah. Well, see, because Beast is smart. He gets it.
Yeah, he is smart. I'll give him that. So yeah, he's smart. So, okay.
So they get back up there and they start fighting. And then, not exactly sure what happens here. This guy like explodes and gets large.
Well, all of the energy harnessed by the microwaves with the satellite dish by Killer Shrike has made Modular Man into a gigantic golden skeleton.
Yes.
And he has energy coursing through his golden bones.
He needs a bigger fedora.
Indeed.
A much bigger fedora, much bigger jacket. Really going to have a hard time checking into that hotel.
So basically they fight and they manage to knock out Killer Shrike. And
we don't know how to say his name still.
Are able to keep him from You know, they were like, well, we need like an extra charge of some sort.
Yeah, yes. They have to try to figure out. They have to use science because it is the Beast and Peter Parker. They have to figure out science as a way to tackle the Modular Man and take him down.
And luckily, Killer Shrike has a very cool like electric-ish thing that shoots from his, I don't know, razor blade wrists.
And he provided them during the previous fight with poison gas a description of how to use it in such a fashion to take down the Modular Man.
He just wanted you all to know, just you know, just in case, FYI. So they zap him. And Modular Man, I don't know, I think he dies?
He literally dies.
He literally dissipates.
That's right.
Like all the energy dissipates and he just becomes dead.
His molecules are dispersed into the atmosphere.
He becomes a lifeless golden tuning fork.
The heroes of this comic book have just killed a man.
Yes, they have.
They sure have. And so then Killer Shrike, like, I don't know, wakes up and flies off, and Beast is like, we should get him, and Peter Parker's like, we've already killed one man today.
That's it. Yeah.
It would have been great if he would be like, we already killed one man today. It's like, let's kill another. And then we just say...
Well, Spider-Man's glib through every single fight, and then finally it dawns on him what's happened, and he turns into Willem Dafoe from Platoon. You know, he's just like, ugh. We just ended a man's life. I don't have to like it. And then he goes off to meet Sissy and watch TV.
Yep.
Watch cable channels.
Yep.
And she's gonna, and probably there's a little you know, shrine with Beast's shirt and Eric Clapton's pick. Oh. And,
yeah.
And he is not Netflix and chilling that night.
No.
He's just Netflixing. So poor Peter Parker.
That's the end of this this book. But there is a little letter section in the back, which we have screen capped one of these great letters that says, "Dear Chris and Al, when will Spider-Man team up with Popeye the Sailor Man like Superman did a while back?" And the answer is just, huh?
And they never even acknowledge it.
And that's it. The end.
By Joey Drain. And I like that the question mark is after Drain because they're not sure if that could be a real name or not.
Right. I read those letter sections and absolutely Googled the
names.
You can
come in here and watch us.
They will not.
Oh, well, I guess they won't. Sorry. See, I broke the fourth wall again. I talked to somebody.
They couldn't find a chair.
So packed in here.
So I read those letters sections, and I have to admit, as a child, I didn't really read them or acknowledge them very often. But in reading them, it's kind of astonishing how they let people criticize them, and they printed it. People are like, oh, I hate this lifeless art, but when you bring in this penciler, it seems to work really well with this inker, but otherwise I don't care for it. It's really something I would never buy. And they just go, yeah, I'm sorry you feel that way, but that's cool. A lot of people do like it. Like, they were very – and Marvel more so than DC. DC lets people criticize, but they kind of gloss over it in their responses. Mm-hmm. But in Marvel, there's the Stan Lee. Did you read the Stan Lee I apologize. I'm going to read it out loud. I'm that guy. Stan Lee has Stan's Soapbox. Now, this is from 1980. Bear with me, gang. It's philosophy time again. I was having a discussion the other day with a professor pal of mine from UCLA about the so-called generation gap, and I laid a few personal opinions on him that I'd like to share with you. First, we're never going to solve the generation gap till we stop seeking the wrong answers to the wrong questions. Everyone yaps about young people being different nowadays. Forget it. Human nature doesn't change. It's the human condition that changes. It's the environment. What's happened to us is the world has been wildly changing, producing new sets of rules each time you blink your eye. It's the social climate that's been changing. Not you and me, Bunky. Here, this will show what I mean. Say you've got two homes, a large country estate, and a small city apartment. You play your stereo full blast to your estate. Who cares? No one can hear it. You're not disturbing anybody, but play it just as loud in your small apartment with the paper-thin walls. Your neighbors want to clobber you. You haven't changed. You're the same yo-yo in both places, but the conditions are different. The fact is, young people are the same as ever, the same noisy, scroungy, mangy, nutty, wonderful crazies they've always been, and adults are still the same grouchy, grungy, goopy, hard-pressed, and harassed heroes they've always been, and which you'll soon become. Nothing's changed but the labels, which leads to point number two. None of us is all that different from each other. We all want essentially the same things out of life, a measure of security, some fun, some romance, friendship, and the respect of our contemporaries. This goes for Indians, Chinese, Russians, Jews, Arabs, Catholics, Protestants, Blacks, Browns, Whites, and green-skinned Hulks. So why don't we all stop wasting time hating the other guy? Just look in the mirror, mister. That other guy is you.
Oh, bravo.
Yeah.
This is the insight of a comic book publisher in 1980, and it's relevant now. He couched it in language that maybe a 13-year-old like myself who bought the book would read and go, yeah, I get that, maybe. But when you read it out loud and you see it now, you go, Jesus Christ, how far ahead of his time was Stan Lee with his attitude? It's ridiculous to me. That's in a fucking comic book with Spider-Man fighting a golden skeleton.
And killing that skeleton.
And that is relevant. It was really, I read it on the plane, and honestly, I kind of choked up. because it was honest. He was bringing feelings and something to the forefront that you would never think you would find in a comic book, and explained, because Stanley has become a punchline and a joke to me because he's in all the movies and he's silly. But when you really have to think about it, this guy changed how we look at comic books, and it was with an attitude like that.
Let's go. He's here right now. Let's go ask him about it.
That's Stan Lee, everybody.
He's literally in this building.
I was astonished by it. I just thought the use of language, again, and bringing it to where a 13-year-old would understand it, but the point is right, spot on, even now, 35 years later. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely. So real quick, so we do this every issue or every episode. Would you read another issue of Marvel Team-Up after reading this? Would you read the next issue? Let me phrase it this way, because it's different by each character, but would you read another team up between Beast and Spider-Man?
Never. That I would not do.
Really?
No, thanks. I'd read Spider-Man with anybody. Spider-Man could team up with a hot dog cart guy in Central Park, and I'm on board. But I just
at least he would get his union card.
The thing I didn't exactly the thing I didn't care about in this I didn't like Spider-Man kept getting beaten up in this. I'm the same 13-year-old boy I was where I want Spider-Man to win every fight and be the coolest guy in the book even though he's a sad sack. So for him to constantly be losing and Beast having to scoop him up and save him, I didn't care for that part of this issue, quite frankly. Spider-Man is because to me again I understand that was the key to who he was he never realized just how powerful he was. But that's why in Secret Wars, you mentioned Secret Wars, the greatest scene is when he beats up all the X-Men.
Yeah.
Like, literally, he beats up the entire group of X-Men that are there, including Wolverine. He smacks him, sends him flying across the room, and he splits. It's gorgeous. So whenever Spider-Man can actually realize who he is and his potential, I'm on board. But with this one, he's not as smart as Beast. He's not as good-looking as Beast. Beast saves him in the fight. So, no, I would not watch them team up.
Oh. Mm. Good point.
But I would read another Marvel team-up. I actually love the concept of the two universes being melded together.
Oh, yeah, I love those great kind of books. I would totally read. Actually, I love Beast, so I would. And if he, I'll read.
Really, you're a Beast guy.
I'm a Beast guy.
I just sat here savaged him. I didn't mean to do that.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, this is actually how a lot of our comic book collections
go.
Things like go where it's like I like a lot of random characters and not many people care about. But
Wonder Man,
Quasar.
Well, that's like those letters sections when they're like, please, if you could please have Spider-Man team up with Supernova Wonder Man. And I'm like, I don't know who the fuck that is. I've never heard of them. Yeah. But there's
Sean's
somebody who
nodding along.
Yeah, somebody who loves Team Scream.
That guy.
You know what I mean?
So
we got another one.
So let's move on to the next one. So normally take a break. We hear a little music.
All right, so here we are. Second selection is our DC selection for the week. This is DC Comics Presents Volume 1, Issue Number 53 from January 1983. The Haunting Dooms of Halloween.
It's Superman in the House of Mystery.
In the House of Mystery.
He's in there.
Happy Halloween, even though it was yesterday. So we start out this book with a young boy going trick-or-treating door-to-door.
As trick-or-treaters do.
As Superman, because, he likes to cosplay.
And creepiest shit, I think, is it's Abel, right?
What?
Ain't Kane or Abel? Is this Kane?
That's Kane.
It's Kane. Okay, so Kane's taking it out on the tree. He's actually there. Like
He's lurking. And this speaks to our time, by the way. It's 1983, and this boy has to be 9. He's alone.
Oh, yeah, he's alone.
He's trick-or-treating alone on the street, waiting to be scooped up by any van full of pedophiles that happens by.
And so he goes to the door, knocks on the door, and the lady's like, oh, my God, it's Superman. And she's like, oh, I'm not really Superman, Mrs. whatever the hell her name is. And then all of a sudden, he grows.
Well, there's a callous ka-swish.
Yes, there's a noise. And all of a sudden, he grows and becomes Superman, like the actual guy, not the kid as Superman. This is the actual Superman, at least we think. And he flies away, which this would have been a very weird, if she was having like a bachelorette party. And like, this is the guy who came
like,
over.
It'd be like if you did a bachelorette party with sea monkeys.
Just add water and the strippers will come.
And it's really creepy because he's just kind of like, I can't fly.
Yeah.
Like, and then he just turns around and goes, lady, I gotta leave. And she's like, oh dear, nobody ever believed me.
Well, also, again, the jaded Mrs. Feaster. Little Ricky from the neighborhood just turned into Superman in front of her and flew away. And she goes, no one's ever gonna believe this.
She's like, meh.
She's still, I dropped the candy bowl. I mean, at least show some surprise or shock.
She's still holding it. She's like, this is normal.
No.
She's like, this happened yesterday when somebody turned into a dead man. You know, he just kind of shriveled in front of me as I was at the supermarket. But
so at Lois is throwing a Halloween party, and at that Halloween party, Clark Kent is dressed as Green Lantern.
Oh yeah,
as you can see here.
And let's talk about Clark, great thighs in that costume.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah,
he looks fantastic.
Looking great. Clark looking great, even though there's a, I forget this guy's name.
Steve Dipshit.
Yes, that's right. Who is there being just, you know.
Steve Lombard, see right there. Okay.
He's a complete asshole. That is his thing. So he slaps Clark on the back, and of course Clark has to pretend that he's not big and strong, even though he's ripped to shit.
He's completely ripped.
Like, come on now. Like, he's bigger than Steve.
Steve is flexing in Clark's face, and Clark towers over him.
Yeah. And yet we're supposed to pretend that Clark is some weakling or whatever.
Because he's hitting Clark, too. And it's like, you can't tell me that, like, if you hit somebody in the back like that, even when they're not expecting it, like Clark, and you're not just going to, it's just not going to be like a hollow sound. Instead, he's like,
that guy
he sells
broken
it.
His hand. Like, really, like, he should have just, like, whacked him, and he should, like, every bone in his hand should
have
just
shattered.
Because
you know this douchebag is hitting him pretty hard. Just be like, ha, slack.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Clark's just like, I'm Green Lantern.
Why'd you invite? She's like, I had to invite him because if I didn't, he'd just show up. So as that's happening, all of a sudden, Superman just like busts through the window, which I love this panel because it's just like he doesn't even bother to like try to open the window.
No.
Nothing. He just like goes right through.
I like I like Perry here, too, because Perry's just like,
this is perfect. Say it.
He's like, I didn't know you were going to. You didn't tell us. Why did you tell us you had invited Superman?
Completely nonplussed by Superman smashing through the side of the building. I didn't know you invited Superman.
Cool.
Like, that's the next time. Like, try that when you go to a party next time.
Just, like, walk through a door.
Just like fall through the screen door and be like, I didn't know you were coming.
What are you saying?
Break your friend's window. It's totally okay. Apparently.
I brought dip.
I'm sorry I'm late. I brought chips.
So,
I fell through the skylights. Okay.
Superman is like, hey, Lois, you have to come with me. And Clark, of course, is like, there's something weird going on here because that guy can't be Superman. Because I'm Superman.
And he's like, he's doing x-ray vision on his arm because he's trying to see what he's made of. And apparently he's not made of anything. He's made of, I don't know, let's say he's made of pudding or something inside there.
Now, Jimmy Olsen is at this party.
Yes, and he's dressed as Thor.
He's dressed as Thor. So it was interesting to see them acknowledge a Marvel hero but have to go a different way with the costume and the appearance completely.
Well, DC would do that with like Hercules because there's like, you know, the Marvel Hercules, and then the DC would have its own Hercules comic back then, which, you know, was based on, you know, not off of whatever the Marvel's one was.
So what happens is, as Superman is trying to take Lois, there's some sort of like power around the Superman that makes Jimmy think he's Thor and like actually become powerful. So like his hammer lights up and he starts talking like Thor. But I would just like to tell you that this is the only time this is ever mentioned in this book.
Unbelievable.
You will
never
see this again.
Because it happens in this panel and like, oh my God, Jimmy Olsen has all the powers of the Thunder God. And in the next panel, it's like, Jimmy's just having a drink. Like literally they forgot he turned into Thor.
Yes, the God of Thunder has all his powers, and that's it. You never see this again. It's just dropped.
Mm-hmm. It'd be great if just like a couple months later, like this came up, where it's like, hey, remember that? I mean,
that party where you turned into Thor?
Yeah,
remember
that was weird, Thor, right?
And Superman dived through the window, you know,
yeah,
and he brought chips. That was
great.
Yeah,
it was great. Yeah. So Superman flies off with Lois, and Clark's like, how do I get out of this party? And he's like, I know. I'll use my x-ray vision to make my Green Lantern ring glow. So every idiot here thinks, oh, since Jimmy turned into Thor, you must really have Green Lantern's powers?
Well, that's what Lombard immediately goes to.
Yeah. I mean, that's just
hey,
like
you know,
normal.
Olsen became Thor for a second, so you're probably like Green Lantern. So why don't you go save Lois, Clark?
And he's like, oh, I'll try to fly. So he like pretends to fly. It's ridiculous. And then like tells
and so of course though, this is another thing that's probably never gonna be brought up again.
No.
To Superman, you know,
about the
party when Olsen turned into Thor. Didn't Clark Kent fly away? Didn't that happen? It did. Oh, okay. I thought it was crazy because I thought for sure that happened. Yeah, it did. No, it did.
I also like this. So
who put acid in all the food? It's just really what I want to know.
I'm also gonna say I like Clark threatening Steve when he has leaves. I just noticed this. Where he's like, if anything happens to me, I'm going to come back and haunt you. I'm a douchebag.
Yeah.
I am going to ruin your rest of your days if I fly out this window and don't die.
Yeah. So he flies off, and as he's flying off after Lois, these birds come to attack him. And this is just Superman being a dick to birds.
Oh, yeah, he hates everything.
He really does. So he's, like, punching these birds and, like, I don't know, doing some sort of, like, top thing where he spins around and all of a sudden he's in his Superman costume.
He's been wearing a leotard under a leotard.
With
somehow
a cape.
His cape, too. So you mean this... How does
I don't understand how he tucks his cape into his clothes and it doesn't look like he just has, like, a fucking diaper.
Yeah, like, he has, like, big, like... Like a big
saggy,
load in his pants.
Saggy
it's like
ass pants.
It's like,
I don't
so you're Green Lantern, but you have like a bunch of spaghetti in your pants.
There's not a lot of give in the Green Lantern unitard.
No,
so.
It really isn't. It's not a forgiving article of clothing. So Superman like flies.
He probably
off.
Just has this giant batch and stuff. It's just it's weird.
It's
and,
weird.
And I'm just, I mean, it's just surprising he gets as far ahead as he does in life.
Yeah.
As Clark Kent, like he's a newscaster on TV at this point. I think he's working on it, and it's like, well.
Yeah,
but you came to that party and you had all this stuff stuck in your pants, and then you know
you flew away.
And then you flew away.
Well, it was a weird party, you guys.
Yeah, it was a weird party, but you know it's all cool.
So Superman's flying off to try to find Lois, and then we cut to the House of Mystery,
the actual House of Mystery,
the actual House of Mystery, where there is the Kane, the werewolf guy, telling a story to small children.
Entertaining a party of small children, as most old men are wont to do in their creepy mansions.
As most
of course.
Creepy men with chin beards
and no adults.
And hair horns.
And, of course, who should show up at this point but Mitzel Pitzlick. That.
Oh, do we have
I don't have that one, but...
Oh, Mitzel Pitzlick. Whatever.
No, Mitzi Pitzlick.
I hear that saying. You know how to say words, Mike.
Well, I just always, I've always called them Mixelplex. I know that's incorrect because, but as a child, I didn't care for DC, so fuck them.
Fuck them and
fuck
their
you
words
and
their
stupid name.
Fuck them and their yeah. use of X and Y.
You can
y
take this magic
chart.
Imp and fly him up your ass. Could not care less about his name.
I agree with that. Mitzelplex can go.
Mitzi
fuck,
yeah, whatever.
Can go fuck off.
So. What happens when he shows up and then Superman shows up with Lois in costume and he's like, oh my God, this isn't actually Lois or this isn't actually Superman. It's some poor kid who he makes small again. And he's like, huh, kids, you want to play a joke on Superman? And all the kids are like, yay!
Of course we do.
This sounds like the best thing ever.
But you know what's
we
mean to Ricky?
We hang out with the weird kid.
He turned Ricky from he turned him into Superman and then turns him back into Ricky. But his Superman costume is gone.
I know. Now he's
poor Ricky. It's Halloween. He dressed as Ricky.
Well, what happened was he took the kid. He took him to Woolworths, bought him some shirts.
He's dressed as a child that
he's
has
just
been duped.
A child again.
All right, so we got to do this pretty quick because we're running out of time. So. Mitzi Pitzlick is like, all right, so since you're going to help me, I'm going to turn you into all these freaking creepy things like ghosts and werewolves or whatever. As Superman's flying to try to find Lois, luckily he smells her perfume. Mm-hmm. And now there's a picture of him that's just a disembodied head, like smelling something.
That should be on like soup can or just some sort of food or something. You know,
it's just kind of like, fear, just like mom used to make. Like, it's really a creepy image.
And this is when they were drawing Superman to look like Dan Rather. So,
so imagine Dan Rather smelling something good.
So he shows up at the house, he goes into the house and he tries to x-ray the wall. And he can't see through it. But, of course, he has to talk to the house itself. He's like, what's happening?
Well, the house
midnight?
Is a character.
House, talk to me.
House.
Which is pretty funny.
He goes into the door. So here's my favorite part.
So he's like, all right, fine. Well, they're like, you have to find Lois by midnight. You have till midnight. You've got to do it ASAP. Let's do this. He's like, all right, well, I have no problem with this because I'm Superman.
Yes.
So he, like, walks into the next room and immediately gets ensnared in, like, this,
he's
I don't
a,
know,
a Thanagarian
hentai
snare
nightmare.
Beast.
It's just this.
It is the most hentai thing ever.
It's got tentacles and everything. And then, of course, Sean's favorite part is as he's trying to.
So he's sitting there and he's like, I got to figure myself. It's like, I can't even see its mouth. Like, he's some sort of like what are you going to do if you see its mouth? Are you going to. It feels like there's something that he's, you know, he's like, it's like he's professing something he's into.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I just
he's
feel
totally
like there's. It feels kind of erotic.
Yep, it does. So he, like, you know, he flies into the next room, which is all on its side. And Superman's like, oh, well, thank God I'm super, because this would probably throw a normal man right off his bearings. And then, of course.
And then it totally does.
It throws him off.
And it totally
it's
does.
Like, that's what you deserve, you ass.
And again, this is Superman, ostensibly the most powerful being in our universe.
Yeah.
He's searching for the woman he loves, who's been kidnapped by a doppelganger of himself.
Yes.
And he comes to a mansion house, and instead of blowing it with super breath or destroying it, he literally walks around and goes through doors.
Yeah.
Like he's the monkeys. Like he's just... What are you doing? Find the woman you love with some urgency, yeah, no. Superman.
Nope.
No.
So he starts, he's going around, and then he finds some stairs, and here comes a skeleton, and he's like, oh, haha. I
don't care about your skeleton.
I'm not scared of you, so I'm going to backhand you.
Turns out it's a kid.
Turns out that's Superman backhanding a child. that's exactly what's going on right there.
Superman backhanded the child.
And then he's like, oh my God, it was a kid. Thank God I didn't kill him.
Yes.
Which is great. So he goes through another door, and he walks right into the Daily Planet newsroom.
Again, the monkeys.
Yeah. Totally the monkeys.
Totally the monkeys. See, he's just flipping it. Yeah, I would just keep going through.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, hey, how's it going? And Perry's like, hey, Clark, I need you to type this. So here we have an image of Superman on a typewriter, just clicking away, just like, oh, I'm supposed to do something else.
I want that on a poster. Just be like, work, what, like that? Your life depended on it.
And so then he's like, oh, that's right. I'm supposed to find Lois. So he like hurdles over a desk.
He does a Bruce Jenner over a desk.
He really does. And so he like hurdles over a desk, and then...
And then the mob shows up to kill his friends.
The mob shows up, and like the walls are painted with kryptonite.
Oh, yeah. The kryptonite walls. Yeah, we just keep going through these.
Yeah, I am. So then he like falls through a trap door or whatever, ends up in a coffin. And he spins a dude over his head. He's like throwing people into the mob. As you can see, there's his trap door into the coffin. Then Dracula shows up and like really looks like he's trying to kiss him.
Oh, yeah. There's again, erotic.
Yeah, Superman's like, I don't know. Well, maybe I'm down with this. He's like, oh, wait, it might be another child, so I can't kill it. Oh, I know. I'll blow up this lamp.
I'll punch this child again. He thought about, you know, he thought about punching the kid.
He did. He thought about punching that child.
And he used it to turn it into a normal boy. See, that kid has his costume.
Yeah, that kid's
the other kid. Up. The other kid with the Woolworths. This kid totally got stuck in his costume.
See, there's that kid who got screwed right there. And then all of a sudden, it's like 5 seconds to midnight. You hear all the bongs, and Superman's like, "I only have one bong left." And so he like goes through. Opens,
and then the last bong comes.
Opens the door, and he finds a skunk instead of Lois. And then he cries.
He cries.
Which there's that pit. There's this
Superman
lovely,
sobs.
Lovely image of Superman just sobbing. Because he can't find Lois, which is pretty
guys,
cool.
Superman crying is a new Tumblr I'm making.
So. Superman typing and Superman crying.
I would watch both of those things. I need a shirt of just Superman crying. And then everybody asks me how I'm feeling. I'm just going to point to it.
Okay.
So then Mitzi Picklick is like, oh, it's just me. And then Superman starts laughing. He's like, oh, I knew you wouldn't really kill anybody. And Mitzi Picklick's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
So we got 1 minute.
But that's another great T-shirt. That's another great T-shirt of Superman laughing with the Haas all around him.
Yeah.
That's so gorgeous. Great.
So then they trick him into saying his name backwards. He disappears. Lois is reunited. Everybody's happy.
And Lois has this creepy thousand-yard stare at the end when they're like they're trying
as
to talk
should.
To her.
It's not really her. It's
that party was weird. So
that's it.
That's it for DC House. DC Presents Superman and House of Mystery. Would you read another team up with Superman and the House of Mystery?
I would.
I would just for the camp value because it was so ridiculous.
Yes.
I would too.
Yes.
And so, Mike, where can people find you?
Well, you know, the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast is in iTunes. You can go to MikeSchmidtComedy.com and find me there. And there's a page where you can go ahead and find my Facebook page and my Twitter page at Twitter.com/the40YearOldBoy, Facebook.com/the40YearOldBoy. And please use the number 40 and not the word.
Cool. Wonderful. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Angry Hero Sean, S-H-A-W-N. And Jen?
I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com and jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
And Angry Hero Sean is my Instagram as well. And, of course, SideshowNetwork.tv. Thank you so much
for you folks
for being here.
And thank you to Kamikaze for having us. And thank you to Mike.
Yes, thank you to Mike. Thank you so much for being
thanks
here.
Thanks for
man.
Asking
All
me.
All right, well, thank you so much,
this
guys.
This was a blast.
This has been Worst Collection Ever.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Bye.